Good morning.
How is everybody?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It's good to be here. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord this week. Thank you, Matt, and everybody that came before me last Sunday. I definitely appreciate your prayers. Thought we were going to die, to be honest with you. It's still floating around the house a little bit, maybe. So y'all keep Weston in your prayers today, since he's not here because of earaches. Y'all know that it is still in February, right? So you know what February is, right? What month? What's the month? What's it called?
Winter.
Yeah, winter is the correct answer. Those watching at home. Month of February. Winter dinner. February. Winter. It's still love month. At least this week, right? So your title of the day is this: Love and Resurrection, Love That Performs, or Transforms. Sorry. Love and Resurrection, Love That Transforms. Y'all ready for some good stuff? Hey, I'll go ahead and give you your main scripture today. It comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6, verse 17 through 26. Luke 6, 17 through 26 says this in the NIV. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, with a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Look at his disciple. He said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they will exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Sorry about that. People are rejoicing today and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are now well fed, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everybody speaks well of you, for this is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Amen. Let's pray real fast. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I ask you, Lord, for the blessing in your message today, Lord. Lord, as always, may it be your Holy Spirit, Lord, speaking through me, Lord. Lord, your word is not mine, Lord. Lord, may you give us everything you need out of our message today, Lord. Lord, that we would truly live a life of love, Lord. But only the love that you give us, Lord. Lord, that you ordain for us, Jesus. And Lord, we ask you to just be with the rest of the service. In your name I pray. Amen. Now, your first scripture is going to come from the book of Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 12 through 20. Corinthians 15, 12 through 20 says this, NIV version. But, everybody say but.
But.
We all like but, right? Let me get the page here. Hold on. There we go. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can you say, or how can some of you say, that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, And so is our faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses for God. For we have testified about God that He raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him in fact. Let me start that over there. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. It is only for this life that we have hope in Christ. We are all, of all people, most pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm glad we got a God that's our first fruits today. Amen. Y'all ready to see Him in heaven in the future? So your title again, Love and Resurrection, the love that transforms. Today, guys. Today, everybody say today.
Today.
Today we stand upon one of the most glorious truths of our faith. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, reminds us each that if Christ is not raised, then our faith is in vain. But praise be to God, guys. For Christ is indeed risen, isn't He? The truth is not just a theological cornerstone for us, but it is a revelation of the greatest love that the world has ever known. Love is at the heart of that resurrection, isn't it? And today we're going to explore how the power of love itself is revealed through Christ's victory over death itself. Love truly conquers doubt, don't it? Paul addresses those in Corinth who questions the resurrection, saying that if Christ is not raised, then preaching and faith are useless. Sometimes our love for God is tested by doubts and fears. We live in a world where skepticism itself often challenges each one of our faith. Yet love is not blind, is it? It is full of faith and confidence in God's promises. Love trusts the promises of God, knowing that He who sent His Son to die for us would not leave us in despair. The resurrection itself is the ultimate proof of God's love, reassuring each one of us that His promises never, ever, ever, ever fail. When we choose love, we choose truly to trust that God's plans are good, no matter what they might be for us, right? Even when we don't fully understand them. Love silences our doubt by focusing on the truth of Christ's victory. We also know that love defeats sin and death overall. Sin separates each one of us from God. But love binds that gap and bridges that gap, don't it? The love of Christ led Him to the cross, where He bore each one of our sins. His resurrection is a triumph of love over sin and death. If there was no resurrection, we would still be in our sins, wouldn't we? We'd still be bound by the chains of condemnation. But thank God. Thank God, love has set each one of us free. The power of God's love is seen in its ability to break the course and curse of our sin, restoring each one of us into a right relationship with Him. This love is not about an abstract concept, is it? But it is an active force in our lives. When we receive this love, We're empowered to turn away from the sin and embrace the abundant love and life that God has prepared for each one of us. Let's remember this, that love is truly the reason that Christ came to this earth. Love is truly the reason that Christ died on that cross. Love is truly the reason that Christ rose again for each one of us, proving that nothing at all can separate Him from us and us from Him. Love also gives us hope, don't it? Paul declares that if our hope in Christ is the only for this life, I'll get to that, we're to be pitied, aren't we? But because of love, our hope is eternal. Love is not just for today, is it? But it is forever. For forever. The resurrection assures each one of us that we are not abandoned. That our lives have meaning beyond the grave. Because Christ lives today, we too shall live in the future. Love is a promise that death itself is not the end, as so many will tell us it is. But it is truly the beginning of an eternal union with our Savior. This hope changes the way that each one of us should live our day. It gives us strength for the trials. It gives peace in uncertainty. And it should give us joy in knowing that our future is secure in Christ. Love reminds each one of us that no matter what we face, our story doesn't end in despair. No matter what we face, our story doesn't end in despair. No, instead, we're a part of an eternal story of the redemption and the glory of God. Love also calls us to share the good news. Love tells us, do not remain silent, don't it? If we truly understand the death of Christ's love for us, that He displayed on that in His resurrection, we'll want to share it with others, won't we? We'll want to tell everybody down the street. We'll want to tell our neighbor that we don't even want to talk to. Amen? Paul preached with boldness because he was transformed by this love. And in that same way, we're each called to proclaim the good news that love is won, Christ is risen, and salvation is available to all of us that believe. This love compels each one of us to go beyond our comfort zones, to reach out to the lost, to reach out to the hurting, to reach out to the broken. It is not enough to simply acknowledge of Christ's resurrection, is it? We must live it. Day in and day out, we must live in a way that reflects the love, the power of that love. Love calls each one of us to an action, to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Himself, to extend grace and to shine His light in this dark and dying world that we're living in right now. This resurrection is the ultimate expression of God's love. It conquers doubt. It defeats sin and death. It gives us hope and it calls us to action. Let's live in the power of this love, knowing that because He lives, we are loved with an everlasting love. May we go forth sharing that love of Christ daily to us, to anybody that He puts in front of us. May we do that. May we walk with an assurance like Paul did, that nothing, neither death nor life, can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus. Because it truly is a love that transforms. The first scripture that we read was Luke 16:17-26. Love truly is the very foundation of our Christian faith, isn't it? Jesus Himself declared that the greatest commandments are the one, are to love God with all our hearts, our soul, and our mind, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. However, biblical love is truly and radically different than worldly love, isn't it? Biblical love is sacrificial. Biblical love is sacrificial, isn't it? It's transformative and it's countercultural. In Luke 16, 17 through 26, Jesus delivers what is often called and referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. It closely resembles the Beatitudes in Mark 5 or Matthew 5, but is more direct in the blessings and the warnings that it gives us. The essence of this passage is that God's love for the broken and a warning against self-sufficiency and worldly comfort. We see three things that we can see that love transforms. The first one is this: love blesses the humble. The second is love challenges the comfortable. And the third thing is this: love endures persecutions. It truly blesses the humble, don't it? Verses 20 through 23. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Jesus Himself begins with four blessings, often called the Beatitudes of Luke. These blessings are not just about material conditions, are they? But they are about spiritual reality. I get that word. They're about spiritual reality and those who depend on God. Blessed are the poor refers not only to financial poverty, but also to spiritual poverty as well. Those who recognize their need for God experience His love and His kingdom. Blessed are you who hunger. This hunger itself is not a physical, is it? But it is spiritual, representing a longing for righteousness. God satisfies our hungry soul. Blessed are you who weep now. Weeping symbolizes sorrow over sin and suffering. Those who turn to Christ will truly find a comfort for Him or in Him. Blessed are those, or you, when people hate you. Persecution for Christ is the mark of true discipleship. Those who suffer for righteousness will truly be rewarded in heaven, won't we? We also see that God's love is attracted to humility. Throughout Scripture, we see that God lifts up the lowly. In Luke 1:52, Jesus Himself became poor to make us rich in grace. 2 Corinthians 8:9. The meek will inherit the earth. Matthew 5:5. Do we love those who are broken? Do we love those who are poor? Do we love those who are outcast? God calls each one of us to reflect His love by caring for each of those in need, don't we? Do we hunger for God's presence more than a worldly satisfaction today? God promises each one of us to fill those who seek Him first. Are we willing to weep over sin and injustice? God transforms, her love transforms our hearts to mourn with those who suffer. It also shows that it truly challenges the comfortable, don't it? 24 through 26. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Ooh, that means you ain't taking that with you. You ain't going. That sounds like you might be stuck here, don't it? When the eternal time comes, Jesus Himself is contrasts the blessings with four woes directly at those who are comfortable and self-satisfied. Woe to you who are rich. Those who trust in the wealth have already received their reward. Their love for riches blinds them to their need for God. Woe to you who are now or full now. Those who are spiritually complacent will experience spiritual emptiness. And woe to you who laugh now. This refers to self-indulgent joy without concern for others. True joy is truly found in Christ and not in our temporary pleasures. Woe to you when all speak well of you. Seeking human approval often leads each one of us to compromising God's truth. We truly see a danger of self-sufficiency, don't we? Jesus frequently warns about the dangers of wealth and comfort. The rich young ruler was unwilling to give up his possessions for the love of Christ. The parable of the rich fool teaches that life is more than earthly wealth. When the Laodicean church thought they were rich, but Jesus called them spiritually poor, didn't he? Are we using our wealth to love others? God blesses us to be our blessing for others. Are we pursuing eternal treasures rather than temporary satisfaction? Jesus calls each one of us to store up treasures in heaven, not on earth. Do we seek God's approval over people's praise? True love itself stands for truth, even when it might be unpopular. Because the love itself will truly endure persecution. 22-23 says, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they will exclude you and insult you because of the Son of Man." Jesus Himself assures His followers that persecution is a sign of true discipleship. He encourages each one of us today to rejoice and leap for joy, not because suffering is pleasant, is it? But because our reward from that suffering is going to be in heaven, and it's going to be great. We have to remember the prophets. We got to remember the faithful before us, like Jeremiah and Elijah, and also who also suffered for God's truth. Throughout Scripture, we see that love itself is often met with rejection. Jesus Himself was despised and rejected. His apostles rejoiced in suffering. Paul suffered for the gospel, but counted it all joy, didn't he? Are we willing to suffer for our faith? Are we willing to be persecution as part of following Jesus? Do we love our enemies even when they reject us? Because Jesus truly calls us to pray for those that persecute us. Are we standing firm in love even when it costs each one of us something? Because true love itself endures hardship, don't it? Jesus calls us to a love that is humble. Blessings, those who depend on God. To love that is challenging. Mourning those who trust in the world, worldly comfort. And a love that is enduring. Strengthened through persecution. Do we love Jesus as Jesus loves? Or are we still lacking in that area sometimes? I know I still am sometimes. How about you guys? Are we living for eternal rewards or just for temporary treasures? Are we willing to stand for Christ even when it costs us dearly? Jesus' teaching in Luke 16:17-26 challenges each one of us to see life through a lens of God's love rather than the world's values. Society tells us that success, wealth, and popularity define a blessed life. But Jesus himself tells us something different, don't he? He tells us and teaches us that God's love lifts up the broken. That God's love fills the hungry. That God's love comforts the sorrowful. In that passage, we see a kingdom where love, rather than power and riches, reign. We see truly the blessing of that love. His words in verse 20-23 are not just about circumstances, but about how God's love reaches us in each and every situation that we're going through. Because God loves the poor. Blessed are those who are poor, for your kingdom is the kingdom of God. Society often overlooks the poor, don't it? But God sees them. Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor and remind us that true riches, even today, are still only found in Him. Because He truly loves the hungry. Blessed are you who are hungry now, or hunger now, for you will be filled. More than that, just physical hunger. That speaks of the deep longing for righteousness, for peace, for love. And Jesus promises to fill each one of us with His love when we seek Him above all else. We also see that God loves those who weep. Verse 21. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. God's love brings comfort to the hurting. He is close to the brokenhearted. In Christ, sorrow is never an end of the story. His love brings joy that will last forever in eternity. Because He also loves the persecuted. Verse 22-23, blessed are you when men hate you. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. The world may reject us, mightily, but God's love is greater. If we suffer for Christ today, we're following in His footsteps of the prophets. And even Jesus Himself. Do you trust in God's love? Do you trust Him to provide rather than in a material wealth? Do you trust His true love? Do we hunger for His presence more than worldly success? Do we find joy in knowing Christ Himself, even in those difficult times that we're truly going to have? Because He does truly warn us. He warns us, verse 24-26, He warns us against living without God's love as a foundation for each one of our lives. He tells us the danger of the riches without love. Woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Wealth is not bad, is it? Wealth is not a bad thing, right? But without love, that those riches are truly empty. True joy comes not from what we have, right? But from who we got, who we have in Jesus. True joy comes not from what we have, but from who we have in Jesus Christ. Verse 25 says, "Woe to you who are now full, for you shall hunger." If we are full, if we are filled with the things of this world, but we lack the love of God and others, we are always, we will be empty. We will be empty for eternity. Jesus Himself alone is the only one that can satisfy our hearts. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. The world itself offers temporary pleasures to us, don't it? But only God Himself, only His love, brings true everlasting joy for each one of us. Without Christ, even the happiest life is fleeting. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. If we live only to please others, we may miss out on that deeper love of God. Jesus calls each one of us to a love that is bold, a love that is selfless, and a love truly that is eternal. Are we seeking God's love and approval? Or are we chasing after human praise today? Are we loving others as Christ loves us? Do we measure success by love and faithfulness rather than wealth and popularity? Jesus' message itself is not about rejecting success, is it? But it is about finding true success in love. The world values power, but God values love. The world tells us to seek comfort, but Jesus calls us to love sacrificially. The world says popularity is success, but Jesus says loving others is that true success for us. How are we doing in that department today? How are we doing in loving others today? Are we trusting more in God's love, more than the material things? Do we have a hunger for righteousness and love more than any temporary pleasure that we can get right now? Do we find joy in Christ, even in suffering, because His love is truly enough for us? Do we seek to love others rather than chase a worldly approval? Jesus' kingdom is built of love, not wealth, status, or worldly success. The poor, the hungry, the sorrowful are not forgotten, for they are loved by God. Those who rely on riches, on comfort, and on human praise will miss out on that deepest love of all, and that is a true relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, as always, I thank You for getting me out of the way today, Lord, allowing Your Holy Spirit to speak through me, Jesus. Lord, I thank You for Your blessing and Your message today, Lord. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity to love like Jesus did love. Lord, to love like You did love. Lord, not the world, Lord, but to truly keep our eyes on heaven, Lord. Not any monetary success or small things here in the world, Lord, but truly with our eyes set a gaze on Your love, Lord, Your mercy, Your grace, Lord. Lord, we thank You for each and everything that You do for us, Lord. Lord, we ask you to be with us for the rest of the week, Lord. We ask that you put somebody in front of us, Lord, that we can truly tell about your awesome love, Lord. Your awesome mercy, Lord. Your awesome grace, Lord. Lord, truly, their answer to happiness lies only in Jesus Christ, Lord. We thank you for each and everything that you do. In your name I pray. Everybody say it.
Amen.
Amen.